Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think we're rolling, Holler.
You sure?
I think it says
you're doing it. I mean, so if it's messed up, it's on you. It's not me.
Listen, you're not the first person to blame it on me. So,
is that a pattern?
It's a pattern. Yes. Yes, it is. And it's a bad habit too. Anyway, last week, it was pointed out to us by our super fan groupie.
I don't know what
I'm saying is, it was pointed out to us by our interim producer, Phil Garrett, who is now, you know, hopefully going to, you know, he's been taking the shows and he's going to put the intro music on and he's going to clean up our audio a little bit, make us sound a little more professional. Phil Gehrer of the movie industry fame, famous movie guy, pointed out that last week was our 100th episode. And so in From the Shadows podcast fashion and the midweek Howl fashion, we'll celebrate our 100th episode on our 101st episode. How about that? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. We're a little off, but before we get started, I mean, is it amazing to you that we've had 100 episodes of doing this?
Not to me, because every week I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about. So obviously.
Well, yeah. One of our other super fans who we may have on, and I'm going to call him a super fan, and he's probably going to get ticked off. But our buddy Patrick, that's out there in, I think, California, who we've talked about before, he called us out. He said a couple episodes ago we were boring, and that you must have run out of stories. Can you believe that?
We did. Tell him that's true. But I, you know what?
You did tell him that's true. I told him that wasn't true. He just blew it for us. I had him convinced.
You know, this is the problem. I come up with stories every day. I was in the checkout line last night at the local grocery store just trying to buy a gallon of ice cream. I didn't want anything else but ice cream, okay? Yeah. So I hate to tell you how much ice cream me and my family space, family unit, whatever these kids nowadays in these podcasts call it, but between the three kids and two dogs, I go through a gallon of ice cream a couple times a week, you know, at least one a week. Okay.
I'm now jealous, but go ahead.
Because you don't eat ice cream or what?
I'm not allowed. Christy runs a tight ship here. I look at ice cream twice a week.
Because it's too expensive or because it's too bad for you?
Because it's too bad for me.
Well,
she runs a tight ship. She's just looking out for me.
This is going to segue into our special guest here in a second.
Okay.
But
okay.
You're going to die anyway. Ain't none of us getting out of this thing alive. So if you think I'm going to forego ice cream because, I mean, you obviously have been down my neck of the Ozarks, okay? Because I was walking out of Culver's earlier today after we had a registered trap shoot today. So we spent all morning on trap range. My kids wanted to go to Culver's, the kids that was with me. We went in there and it was full of what I call normal people. Okay. You know, your average disheveled, overweight, probably diabetic tattooed people living paycheck to paycheck. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as we're sitting in this place, just plumb full, like two-legged hogs at a trough, there was a couple riding in on bicycles. And, you know, that's what you play down here where I live at Lake Ozark, because there's so many tourists. We look out the window, they ain't from here. So I seen this couple that were in their probably early to mid 60s, but had taken very good care of themselves, right?
Yeah.
And they're negotiating him and her bicycles around the parking lot, bass boats, and four-wheel drive pickups, and they're really wanting to get into this parking spot in tandem, because wherever they're from, people probably respect the bicycle. Down here, it's 50-50 on whether you're going to be, because on it, from the opposite direction, there was a four-door Dodge Magnum pickup that this dude, you know, had a wife and three or four kids in the back, no seat belts, and he was trying to get into the same spot they were, probably to get him out so he'd have to quit listening to him. You know what I mean? So he had to quit listening to him. And you could see that they were aghast. I mean, they put the feet down, the brakes on these bikes, and they were almost upset that he came within 5 or 6 feet of them with this pickup, because he wanted that spot too. You know what I mean? So yeah. The one gentleman pulled his bike to the side a little bit, and this guy had to back up to get in the space before, because they took his space with the bicycles, and they put their kickstands down, and they went in there and ordered some light yogurt off the menu and sat underneath the shade or underneath the umbrella out front. And at the same, so I said, they're not from here. And then as I'm walking about to leave, I'm trying to, I got this tray full of, you know,
hamburgers, fried food,
four meals. You know what I mean? Yeah. The waste of four meals. So I got a cord of wood worth of paper and trash piled up. Looks like small Mount Fuji or something on my thing. And I'm walking over there and I'm trying to get it to go in this itty bitty hole at the trash can. Right. And as I'm old, so when I stand up, there's some people cutting across my bow, so to speak, younger people. And I stop and I let them by. And I get over this trash can. As I go to negotiate this little zit-faced kid with the fast food uniform says, "Sir, I'll help you with that." Now, I've probably got more time in the fast food restaurant than he's got on this earth. Right. But as a recovering asshole, I've decided to start letting people help me. Okay. And the first thing he did was take his tray and dump it up. And my daughter had a shake of some sorts, like the chocolate chip cookie dough one, whatever. So she's ate all the chunks out and left what looks like thick milk. And when he picks that thing up and turns it like the Titanic trying to go down in the depths, that cup of warm ice cream dumped up. And of course, you know, gravity here in the Ozarks, like everywhere else, works at 9.8 meters per second squared. And that thing bounced off the counter, went right to the floor, and a little mushroom cloud of high fructose sugar and milk spilled everywhere. And I said, "Sorry about that, buddy." And I had some napkins there and I was trying to wipe it off. And he goes, "Don't worry. I'll just tell them there's a mess to clean up." And I was thinking, there wasn't until you tried to help me. You know what I mean? So instead of him saying, "I'm going to get a bucket and clean it up, I'm going to whatever." And
gonna make somebody else do.
So everybody, when this happens, everybody in the earshot is watching this, right? But then instantly they go from watching me and the milk eruption to staring out this window. Like 15, 18 people all staring out this window. And I had to stop to look out the window because I thought maybe a trophy buck was walking across the parking lot or a new bass boat or something was going. And it was a power couple getting out of the car. And they had their like little skin, you know, spandex shorts on and muscle shirts, and they had, the girl had sculpted arms, and the guy, and they were tan and had white teeth, and they're walking across the parking lot coming in here, and everybody was staring at him like, who are these people and why are they here? Where was I going with this, Shane?
I don't know. Well, you were going to tell me that I should enjoy eating ice cream.
Yes. And not let Chris, so what happens because, is you because, can tell because these
we're all going to die.
We're probably just going to have a cheat day or cheat meal or whatever they call it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Then you think, you know, this whole place here, my people, we cheat all the time. We live life because, you know, you can have that physique. But let me tell you, when the man comes calling, what's that?
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. When the man comes calling. Right.
Man, is that what it's called? When the man comes around, I think.
When the man comes around, he don't care about your white teeth, right? Because you're going to have a closed mouth. Am I right or wrong, Arkansas Undertaker? Close your mouth.
You're absolutely right.
So those bleach teeth ain't gonna make it, are they?
They're not gonna make it. It doesn't matter. Pearly whites are no whites. It doesn't matter.
There are no pearly whites. Only the pearly gates, right? You know. So
that's what they say.
We hope.
So let's give them official. So we're joined officially by our. This is our first episode with what we'd call a super fan, right?
This is super fan. Super one for episode 101. The first. I don't want to say groupie, but what do we call him?
Super groupie fan, may right? be a little too much.
first guest.
We're just gonna call him the first sucker. The first guinea pig.
So, there you go.
Whatever. So welcome, Arkansas Undertaker, to the show. And, you know, thank you for being a, not only thank you for being a fan and a loyal listener, but thank you for being a funeral home director, because this is going to be fabulous, I think. I think this is going to be. Tell the listeners. A little bit about what it is that you do.
Well, I kept waiting on a guinea pig. Introduction as a guinea pig. That's okay. What do I do? I assist people, the living families, in scheduling and arranging funerals or memorial services or burials for their loved one, their person who has passed on to the pearly gates. We hope.
And now, so let's be honest, the funeral, right, is more for the living than it is the dead.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, the dead have no idea, so they're perfectly fine with everything. So yeah,
show's about, right? I mean, you know what our show's all about on our Friday episodes. I mean, some people think the dead do know what's going on.
They think they're still here, sticking around.
They're sticking around. So, Howard, you got a leading question for the Arkansas Undertaker before? Because I got some questions.
You know, I had one a second ago. I had one and I lost my train of thought when you said some people still think they're around. Because then I got to wondering, well, are they? What if they are?
Well, what? You know, Shane, I was telling you that story when we spoke, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
About that dude that when I was embalming, that this dude took his own life. And I swore he was looking over my shoulder to make sure he did the job he had set out to do.
You mean you had a feeling that he was watching you, or?
No, yeah, I had a feeling he was watching me, yeah. I could feel, you know.
Is that the only time you ever felt that?
Oh, no, no.
So you felt that on multiple occasions, that somebody was hanging around, like, watching.
But I've never, I've never felt it as strong as I did that night, because that like I said, that guy set out to take his own life, and he did a number on himself. So,
well, I back up here. I got to ask you, how did you get into? I mean, when did you start working in the funeral business, and how did you get in that? Because I got a couple guys I know not real well. You know, when you're a cop, especially a local cop, like I started out, everybody knows a funeral home because we call you guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I've never really sat down with them. I talked to the kid I kind of grew up with. You heard the stories about my brother. You know, we called him because we grew up with him, and right. You know, and he just started working in the. What are you laughing at?
That's where this conversation all started.
Yeah, well, you know, my brother was that. One of these shop local guys. You know, he bought all his liquor and cigarettes from this local little gas station. We knew the owner. You know, he was just a local guy. So when he passed, and me and him had talked the other off and on about this guy that bought the, you know, that I thought bought the funeral home, but actually he told me he had started working for a gentleman that owned three funeral homes. And when that guy wanted to start to retire, his kids didn't want to take him over, really. So he wanted to buy one out. One of them he had worked in. Listen to this. He told me he worked there for 19 years. And the gentleman, you're laughing like you know where this is going, right? So he had worked in this little country funeral home, little town that's got three funeral homes in a 1,200-person town, and I'm not making that up. Okay. But now, hey,
it's a drag race.
It's 18 or 20 miles from 40,000 people. So there's some sub, you know, there's some, I call it purgatory in the middle, which you get both, I guess. But bottom line is something like he'd worked for this gentleman for 19 years. I knew that guy. I knew his boys very well. And there was an arrangement. Essentially, he was going to work for him for 5 years before he took it over. Okay. And then the old man died in the third year of a 5-year deal. Okay. So okay. Then these boys inherited the thing that they didn't want in the first place. And there was some kind of a breakdown in negotiation over what the deal that the dad gave them. And I don't remember if they didn't necessarily want to honor it because there was two boys and a girl splitting this thing. They were going to get an appraiser, you know, that like some out of town was going to appraise the value of these three funeral homes. And there was just a whole lot of stuff going on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
This gentleman, my brother didn't want. So somehow, I want to say somehow, I mean, he was a kid that worked, grew up there, went to grade school there, went to high school there, worked there for 19 years in a funeral home business. He was able to go down to the bank and tell the bank, hey, I want to start my own because this ain't working.
And so he was going to open up a fourth funeral home in a town of 1,200.
And he's buried them all.
Oh, really? Yep, literally and figuratively.
And we got to do what?
Literally and figuratively. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And then now he does about 85% of the funerals. You know, he told me this, that the one he worked at for 19 years that he had an agreement to buy with dad before the old man, before he passed, you know, they do one or two a year and they used to do 100.
They do one or two a year.
Yep. And he said and then he said this other outfit, they went through two or three owners. I don't really understand the business end of a funeral home, but I guess these people from out of town come in and buy it and they're going to turn it around with marketing and whatever. But I guess it's almost like, I look at it as like an elected official. it's hard to, and that's why I backed it up with that. You know, when you grow up in these communities and you've lived, you know, he's my age, so he's 53 years old. He's lived in this place his entire life. Everybody knows him, right? So oh, yeah. No matter what kind of marketing package they come in.
They can't compete with living in some place 53 years.
No, you can't compete with the funeral guy, the local funeral guy.
Especially when they're liked, I guess. Right? I mean,
that helps. That helps a little bit.
That helps a lot. So, do you get in the funeral business? Because when I asked him the same question, he goes, I don't know. I needed a job when I was in high school, and so-and-so gave me a job, and I've been here ever since. I mean, in the business ever since.
I wanted to, I got in out of curiosity. I wanted to know what embalming was. So, well,
and that's what I was going to say. The difference is my guy, isn't an embalmer? I guess they contract that out.
Right. Right. A lot of places do, but
right.
Yeah. So I wanted to know what embalming was. And the only way I could find that out was get a job. So I went and got a job at a funeral home. 30 years ago.
And you wanted to just because you, when you were a kid, or how old were you when this went
down? Yeah, I was probably in my early 20s. And I thought, that's it. That's all I wanted to, know. Little did I know 30 years later.
Well, I mean, obviously it's been a good 30 years. You wouldn't still be doing it, right? Isn't that what they would say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love what I do. Oddly enough, I love what I do.
So how, and I, oh man, because I can't, you know, the Howlers had, you know, experience with, you know, dead people. You've had experience. I can't, you know, other than going to some funerals, I've never really been around dead people. How do you, other than those couple ghosts, how do you wrap your head around what you're doing this to, like the embalming process? How do you separate that from being, especially in a small town, and it might be somebody that you know or an acquaintance with, that what you're doing doesn't weird you out, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have no answer for that one. I don't know how I do it. I don't know how I've separated it all these years, because I've been where I am now for the last 25 years, and I'm knowing more and more people that, you know, that are dying off, and I don't know.
Like, I think I told you, like, the guy, so, you know, and our town is small, and there's two funeral homes, and they're both, you know, the people that run them now are family members from the people who founded them, like, 100 years ago, right. At least. And,
At least you think they are.
No, I know they are. I know they are, because they're the same name as the funeral. and I know.
Well, yeah, but they probably sold. You don't know how this is. I mean,
No. The one guy that runs the funeral home right next to the post office, I played Little League Baseball with him. Okay, his dad was the funeral home director of the funeral home of the same name, and it was his dad's funeral home that was also a furniture store in downtown, you know, furniture, because that's how,
too.
Well, that's how they, that's how,
yes, that's how funeral homes started.
Started out as funeral, what do you mean? As furniture. They made furniture. True?
Yeah. Yeah. It started out.
They made caskets.
They had the caskets.
Yeah.
With handles, yeah. Heller.
Yeah. With
handles. Hey, that had a groove on the bottom of it.
But what I'm saying is so, like, if these guys are still, they're my age, the one's a little bit older, but the guy I played baseball with, I don't know how, and I don't know that he does embalming or if he just does, but I don't know that I could, how I could do it. I don't know. I got to
deal with the dead people every day.
Doing the embalming. I think I could be like the front guy, you know, welcome people in, console them, help them, you know, through the process. I couldn't be down in the basement, you know. I don't even know what all.
Oh, I'm telling you, that's the easy part.
That's the easy part.
Yeah, that's the easy part.
Like, I mean, I don't want to say cleaning the fish or something, but you know, I had, I had
just compared to cleaning the fish.
Well, you know, I've been in some autopsies, and they're okay. Like skinning the deer. Well, not really skinning it. You're sort of skinning the deer. They're a little, you know, thinner skinned and stuff. But you know, I used to joke when I was a little kid. I used to joke I was going to be a Baptist preacher. Because all I'd have to do is talk for a couple hours a week, and I could just hunt and fish the rest of the time and work on my sermons. And people would take me out to eat and take me fishing, you know, because everybody, all the preachers I knew, they got taken hunting and fishing, and they worked about 2 hours a week that I could see, and they ate like kings. So, what? So then I got, when I got to be a cop, I seen some funeral directors, and they had it. Maybe a little better because they didn't have to preach. They was always clean. And there was one from my hometown that I'm friends with, you know, he's, and when I was a cop, he'd ride around with me a little bit, you know, he's kind of a cop groupie and I just thought it'd be, I don't want to say easy job, but for the whole, you know, because I was already dealing with the dead people as a cop. But anyway, it didn't go down like that because at the end of the day, I'm pretty lazy and being a funeral director looks like a shitload of work. I mean, so, you've got to console a lot of people in varying degrees of emotional distress, right? Yeah, and that would be like that. What was the guy, you know, the clown that's got the, like, the little stick and he's got a plate on each one. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because it would be volatile. Because now me and my family, now we went in there. It was me and my little brother and my dad and my stepmom went in it to meet our guy. And we pretty well had her lined out. And he told us, he said, I don't know if I've seen an easier one than you guys. And,
oh, that's what they tell everybody to make you feel
probably
better.
But at the same time, we had already had it out before we ever got there. Does that make sense? I mean, so
your guy appreciated that. I'm telling you.
Do what?
Your guy appreciated that. When you sit down with a family that doesn't have it ironed out, and sometimes they just come shy of coming to, you know, going to blows. Well, we're trying to make arrangements.
Well, and I say we had had it out. You know, I don't want to say, you know, everybody was upset over the deal. You know, me and my little brother was upset because the deceased brother, when he was having problems, he wasn't completely honest with us how bad his medical condition was. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
now,
yeah.
I've since found some stuff that he had in his house because I got all the stuff out of his house because I was mom and dad made the executor of the estate and all that, you know. So I wish he'd have been a little bit more honest with us on some things, but we looked at it as a loss because I was with him almost every Friday for the last year. I was with him. And it was like you put all this time and effort into a freaking racehorse or a dog, and like a dog. Let's go use a dog because I have a lot of hunting dogs. You put all this time and resources in this hunting dog, and the damn thing gets hit on the road. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? And it's like, what the hell? But from a dad's standpoint, my dad was upset because this was his baby boy. You know what I mean? He had my brother when he was 18, 19 years old, and you know, I mean, you just imagine, right?
Oh yeah.
So there was a lot of, not really a lot, there was just a lot of emotional things. And I don't want to, we kind of had it out because you get dumped on. This is what you don't understand with a single guy like this. Some, you know, if I die, my old lady and kids are going to take all my stuff, right? It's a no brainer. This stuff is already carved up. Right. But when you got a single guy like that with never been married, never had any kids, somebody's got to take care of all this stuff. Right.
I mean, all the time.
He's got a house. You're talking a guy that had, I ain't making this up, 27 pairs of tennis shoes. And I mean, nice tennis shoes. And
the joys of not having any kids.
Yeah, I mean he had over 500 Blu-rays and DVDs. Shane, I sent you pictures.
Oh, unfortunately, you know, not a single pair of those shoes were size 13 either, because I asked. That'd be cool.
So
there have been many times I've wanted to.
What's that?
You know, when you're marrying someone that's never been married and doesn't have any kids, and you're sitting down with their brother or their sister, and they're going, I don't know what I'm going to do with all their stuff. I'd kind of like to ask, you know, well, what is all their stuff? You know, maybe I can cut you a deal. Maybe we can work something out and trade.
Well, yeah. You know, it's funny you said it, because we kind of half-assed joked a little bit about it. You know,
Is that a no-no to ask?
What's that?
No-no. I'm talking to the Arkansas Undertaker.
Oh,
is
no,
that,
yeah.
Is that
yeah.
unethical? Is that considered unethical to ask if there's anything available?
I don't know. I've wanted to so many times.
Well, hey, yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because, you know, my brother, I drove it to the second day I was at his house, I just took his car one day, and he had couple cars. He had a BMW 650i. He's still got it. Theoretically, it's in my driveway. 650 i two-door, black on black, you know what I mean? And, oh, yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, but I would have handed the keys and the title to that funeral director right there for the funeral. not have to mess with the car or the bill, huh?
There you go. If my name was on the front door, I'd have taken it.
So, because instead, what the deal is, then you go, okay, well, you're going to sell all this stuff, and then you turn around and you got to pay the man anyway.
Right.
I think you're missing out. Arkansas Undertaker. You could open your
own joint. He's in Arkansas, so he probably doesn't have as good a stuff, maybe, depending on where he's at, you know. If he's out on the east side, maybe you get some duck shotguns and some four-wheelers or something.
Hey, yeah. I've been on the east side of Arkansas, so yeah.
You ever doing duck hunting
down there? It wasn't that good over there.
Ever doing duck hunting down there?
No, I did not.
Well, I've been to West Memphis a few times. And
I've been to West. I lived in West Memphis for a little bit.
I've got a
West Memphis story too, but I'll let you go first.
Probably. No, I can't. We run a clean show here, so I can't talk. I can't tell my West Memphis story, but I'm telling you what, if I had to open for Ron White or something, I could probably do 15, 18 minutes on this story.
Oh my God.
You know, and I think it'd be just as solid as a rock. I mean, people wouldn't believe it. So,
well, we'll have to save that one for the members only.
Second. But you know, what's not really funny, but I hadn't thought about West Memphis until a guy told me yesterday they still got a dog track down there.
From what I guess, yeah. I think they tried to open a casino over there.
Well, he was talking about there's no horse racing and you can't even find a dog track anymore. And I said, they don't race dogs. He said, no, well, maybe in West Memphis. He had two or three. You know, he knew. He said, Florida, they're done. And, you know, I'm not a track guy. I'm not a gambler. So anyway, he mentioned West Memphis yesterday about the dog track. But let's get back to you talking about the funeral. So you've seen some knockdown dragouts, I'm sure.
I have seen some knockdown dragouts. Had to call the police in several times.
And that, is that just because there's an emotional dump because they've lost this loved one, or they really care about the stuff?
No, they care about the stuff and they want to pick a fight.
Isn't the office with the funeral home director the place to pick the fight over the stuff?
Well, see, Shane, what happens is somebody's got to sign for the bill.
Oh, okay.
Because the funeral business is a business, is it not, Arkansas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a business.
So like my guy had three of us in there, and when it got in, he ran down this thing, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, he wanted somebody to sign.
And you guys are all in there.
And I said,
I love my son, and nobody will take the pen to sign the bill.
No, right? They won't. No, they're they all, won't. They all gotta go get a drink, or need to go smoke, or need to go to the restroom.
So I stepped up right off the bat and I said, you know, because my mom and dad had already put me in charge of everything. And my dad lives out of state, so I just stepped up and signed, okay? But I could see from past experiences in the real world how that wouldn't work out the best. You know, when I was a cop, I've seen some crazy civil disturbances over. I mean, I think I told a story about the first
about the bacon domestic dish?
I ever went on about the casserole dish, right? Yeah. I mean, y'all heard the casserole dish story, right?
Oh yeah, we heard.
Okay, so I can only imagine in these. I mean, because you've been in the business how many? 30 years.
30 years.
So if you get one or two a year, you've done 50 or 60 that have just went to hell. Right? And that's so, just like a 1% deal or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you've had to call the cops?
What's the crazy times, yeah, that's what I want to know. What's the craziest one you saw?
Yeah, I've had to call the cops on, matter of fact, the same person.
Twice. What do you mean the same person?
Twice. The same person.
Twice. Because you did two different relatives or
yeah, the, two different just, relatives. So twice. Yeah.
They come so, you
So yeah, so I'm bracing for the next time I see this person.
Well, maybe he'll be the dead person.
Well,
and what were they fighting over?
The first time we called the cops on him, it was a wife and an ex-wife got in a fight, and I don't remember what it was over.
But now was the husband the one that died?
Yeah, the husband died, and it was two women stripped down. The fight escalated and evolved and rolled outside in the middle of the street. And called the cops on. The second time was the wife from the first fight. Her brother died. And she wasn't happy with anything that his wife had done, and just raised, I mean, holy hell, and had to call the cops and escort her off the premises again.
Oh, God. So she was mad at the ex-wife and the sister-in-law. So,
exactly. So,
because is it over money, or because she's mad at the drawn, or what?
I don't know. She's crazy. She's crazy.
Well, there's a few of them out there. I've heard.
So the one question I wanted to ask you was, so what is the craziest thing that ever anybody has ever been buried with? Like, that was like a last request, and like you had the place in the cask that you can say.
Oh no! I mean, I can. I mean, I've buried. Oh my gosh! I've buried alcohol. I've buried drugs. I've buried shotguns, rifles, fishing poles. Anything else I'm not aware of? Because a lot of times I'll just tell people, you put it in there. I'm not gonna look. Oh, you know what? I did bury. One time I buried a pet.
What?
Now, was the pet already gone, or did they euthanize the pet? That was bothering no. me. That go. Bothers me a little bit. They whacked the pet so he could get in the box.
They whacked the pet, and we put it in the casket right before the funeral. Yeah.
Well, now it depends on what condition the pet was in, but that bothers me a little bit.
I don't know what condition the pet was in. I didn't ask any questions.
Holy smokes.
They just walked in the back door, handed me a bag, and I put the bag in the casket, and I knew what was in the bag. I didn't look. There are some things, you know, as you know, there are sometimes you just don't ask questions. You know, they say, we want to put this in the casket, and you say, okay. I don't need to know.
We started to have a little falling out a little bit because my dad put some whiskey, like a pint of whiskey, in my brother's. He was a big drinker, and you got to understand, there was people that were blaming the drinking for his early demise.
Well,
okay.
And then what better to put in a casket with him? I mean,
and my other brother that, you know, my nearest brother was with me the whole time in this therapy, trying to get this racehorse back on the track. He put a pack of Marlboro Reds, you know, he put a brand new, took a pack of cigarettes out of that BMW's console and put them right in that casket. And my grandma, which was my dad's mom, she was mad about that bottle of whiskey, wondering who the hell put it in there.
Well, you know what? It's too bad we hadn't talked to the Arkansas Undertaker. And you said, hey, pipe down. It could have been a poodle in a bag that we're sitting
it could be somebody else, because that, me and my brother had talked about that. You know, there was some question on whether getting him cremated or not, because depending on what day you talked to him, he wanted to be cremated, and then what day he didn't care. And my mom and dad were old school. My dad and stepmom were big Catholics. My stepmoms, they had something against cremation, because what I said was, Mom, we can, after the viewing and all that, we can cremate him, and then when you pass, we'll put him in your casket. And she's like, well, I don't want him in my casket. And I'm like, you're dead. Hopefully you'll be gone when we bury you. It ain't like she's going to spook you, but she got a little spooked on the deal. Well, you're not putting him in my casket.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, we can put him in your vault.
That's so funny. Because I've done it. I have buried parents and put their kids' ashes. I say kids, grown adult children.
Yeah, like this deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, put adult children. I've buried a husband or a wife and put their spouse, their cremated remains in a casket.
I mean, no, this ain't the same as the dog deal where
no
the one the dog, they went ahead and killed the other.
No,
the dog went ahead and killed the other.
And you know, the dog or the cat, whatever it was still warm.
Oh, still warm. Oh my god. Oh man.
God. Are you serious? I hope everybody's listening to this. Mouse just dropped.
Yeah, like, we just lost some. We're probably going to get canceled because of this.
I'm sorry, guys.
I mean, I can feel it already.
That's okay. It's worth it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can feel it already.
I mean, you feel the listenership just falling off.
Yeah, well, if we even had any, I'm not for sure because I don't handle that. I'm not for sure. I know two people, you and one other guy that met me on Twitter one day. He liked something and he ended up messaged me on Twitter about this podcast, and I said, you know, you're the first person. He goes, oh, come on. I said, you're the only person that's ever reached out to me. So as far as I know, I got two fans. Well, you and him, and there's that dude in Montana that hates Shane.
Oh, God.
And the guy, Indian Montana, hey, where's he from?
Hey, by the way, this is totally off the topic, but all right. I think you mentioned him the other day, Howler.
Uh-huh, and I did.
He showed up again on social media.
That's because I like him.
Because you...
See, you need that. This is why you need that. You know, did you ever see the...
I didn't know. Nita, our social media person, saw it, took care of it, whatever. She likes to have fun with him, I guess. But unfortunately, you know, I'm just... She let me know about it. And I'm like, oh, brother, here we go. And then I said, well, it's because you had mentioned something about it. But the problem is he doesn't realize when you mention about him, it's tongue in cheek, and then he takes it out on me. And then and wants to say stuff, mean stuff about me, like I'm a bad guy. But, you know, whatever.
Well, I don't, you know, first of all, I don't see why, you know, if you've seen the movie, the great George C. Scott movie where he plays Patton.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And in the very end, he's talking about the Carthaginians and somebody else, basically saying whenever they'd take over, win in a battle, they had slaves that would follow them. You know, the same slaves that were throwing rose petals down for them to walk on also reminded them that all glory is fleeting. Right. So we need people like, is he from Montana? Is that where he's from?
No, I think he's from Arkansas.
No. Not the Undertaker. Yeah. The guy that don't like us.
I think he's from Arkansas.
Anyway, I think you're jacking me. I thought he was from out west.
No. Wyoming or there's Montana. The first guy I mentioned, Patrick. The
bottom line is we need people like that to keep us honest, right? Because.
Okay, back to the funeral.
Because if everybody loved us, we would lose our place in the world. Right, you know what I mean? We would turn
Listen,
into...
if somebody wants to take my place in the world, they're more than welcome to have.
Right? Because... Cool. So we got four fans. We got four fans. So back to the funeral. Tell me, this is... I told my daughter the other day, because we were talking about something. Well, we came home. I told my funeral this guy that buried my brother. I said, hey, you know, I'm going to come up with my wife and kids, my oldest kids for sure. And I'm going to have all my stuff lined out. You know, I got my will and trust and everything lined up. But I'm going to get my plans lined up where you know what's going on, right? And he said, oh, that'd be great. I wish more people would do that. So I come home and I told, do what?
Oh, yeah. We all, as funeral director, we want everybody to.
And I told my wife, I said, hey, we're going to go up there and meet with him. She, what do you mean? I said, we're going to go up there and lay this out. And me and my wife was in this in-depth conversation about what we did want or didn't want, you know, as far as a viewing and this other stuff. And then, of course, my daughter comes in there and pipes in. She sits down. And I said, well, you might as well sit down there. She's like, what are you guys talking about? And I said, well, you might as well sit here and listen to it because, you know, you're going to be managing it, maybe. You know what I mean? Who knows, right? She tells me right off the bat, she ain't cremating me. I ain't cremating you. And I said, what do you mean? I don't want to be cremated. You know, I said, I'll just soon be cremated, and I have her a couple places to dump me out, you know, depending on what fortunes the boys have. And and I said, if nothing else, you can bring me up. You know, I got 40 acres of brush that we deer hunt on, and, we got a place that I've been deer hunting with my kids every year, the same spot for I think every year since 2008 or 9, 10, you know what I mean? And I said, well, if nothing else, you just bring me up every deer hunting, just dump me out, right? What's it matter? And my daughter says, no, I ain't sprinkling you out like a salt shaker or something. So I looked at my wife and I said, see, you don't get the funeral you want. You get the one that the kids want to give you. That's what you get.
For the most part, yeah. It's pretty sad.
That's what you get.
But yeah. That's what you get. Yeah, no, we're not going to do what daddy wants.
But in that conversation, I told my daughter, I said, I remember when I was a kid hearing about people that got buried in Cadillacs and Transams, fancy cars. My daughter just couldn't believe it. And she listens to the show. She's one of the few people I know listen to the show. So
no, I got five
people.
People
can get buried in about, if you got enough money and resources, you can get a lot of different stuff, can't you?
If you got the money, I can make it happen. You mean Cadillacs? It doesn't matter. Harley Davidson, it's all right. I'll bury them all.
I think I talked about it in the show. Me and my brother, after we thought about it, we wish we could have brought him over to Oklahoma and buried him on a big funeral pyre like Conan. Because he's a big Conan fan.
Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma. Our funeral guy says you can't do that in Missouri, but you can in Oklahoma and somewhere else. I guess it's got a lot of Native Americans.
Well, Oklahoma does. But I don't know about, I don't know if you can do that in Oklahoma.
He thought you could maybe in Oklahoma. And you know what's funny is there's a guy, I'm a 4-H trap shotgun instructor for for a couple of kid teams. You know, I shouldn't have said 4-H. They'll probably cancel me too. But between 4-H and the high school team.
Another endorsement out the door.
Shotgun, yeah, that's right. Shotgun teams. And one of the guys, one of the kids' dads turned into be a real good friend of mine last couple of years. And he's a big. When I say big, he's got a pretty successful excavating business and a big farm. And I was actually with him today, and me and him got talking when my brother passed. And I said, you know, my other brother wanted to make a big funeral pyre like Conan, get a bunch of, you know, pallets or something and make a big stack of them and stand him up in that walnut casket looking out.
Oh, is that what it was? It was walnut?
Oh, yeah, that casket was walnut. Didn't you see it? You saw the picture.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, you know, and bring me back to that. But this construction guy looked at me and goes, you know, that's what my little brother wants. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he's already told me that when he dies, he wants me to push the biggest brush pile I got up, put him in the middle of it with 30 or 40 gallons of diesel and light her off.
There you go.
Now, can you do that or not?
No.
Is it illegal?
Well, you can't do it where I live. Where I am, I've been anywhere I've ever been. you can't do it. So I don't. So, but then again, it is possible maybe in Oklahoma. Holy God, that's Oklahoma.
So what is the crazy? I mean, have you ever had to bury somebody in something other than just a casket?
No.
Because
no, the Howler brothers casket's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It looked like a spaceship.
Well,
it made me think about that you guys were talking about. I don't remember if it was after your brother died or before. About that group that.
Oh
yeah, California.
Heaven's Gate
going to chase the comet or whatever. And that's what I thought.
That's right.
My gosh, is that what that casket? I mean, it, I thought that thing looked like it was ready for liftoff.
Well,
I mean,
you know what's funny is we were sitting there.
I've never in my life.
We had kind of talked about it. Me and my brother had talked about different things leading up to this. So anyway, when he had passed and we were driving out there, we met at my brother's house, me and one of my brothers and my dad, we met before we ever went out to the funeral home to kind of get on the same sheet of music. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So on the way out there, my brother rode with me, and we mentioned these wood caskets. And my living brother says that, you know, he's in the horse business, and there's a lot of Mennonites and Amish. We have both sets here, Mennonites and Amish. Oh,
okay. All right.
Okay. So, and he says, well, you know, so-and-so makes those things over here, you know, not 10 miles from where that we were going to the funeral director. So when we got in there, and you know how it works, right?
Oh, yeah.
Start talking, hey, what kind of casket, what kind of this? Well, my dad happens to live in Batesville, Indiana, which means something to you.
It means a lot to me, yeah.
Okay. That's big business where he's at. So him and the funeral guy are talking about Batesville. And I said, well, you know, Jamie would toggle between put me in a pine box or just cremate me. And he goes, well, I can't get you a pine box, but I can get you a walnut one. And I said, huh? And he goes, well, and when I said, huh, my horse brother chimed in and said, from so-and-so, you know, he named this Mennonite by name. Funeral director says, yeah, you know him. And my brother says, well, yeah, he's, you know, and that's when he said, well, you know, he makes, I think it was one of them gets pine, one of them gets walnut. I'm sorry, one of them gets cedar, one of them gets pine. And for I don't want to say Christians or normal people get, he makes them from walnut. And my brother looks right there at my dad and says, this casket looks good. You won't want to put it in the ground. And the funeral director goes, yeah, he does a good work. Give me a call him. So we said, yeah.
That's crazy.
Huh?
That's crazy.
So the funeral director calls him. And of course, he said, he got to put a rush on it. So he charged us 50 extra bucks to put a rush on it. Which, when I seen it, I told my brother, I said, that's a scam because there ain't no way he made that. You know, I hate to do this to you. So he charged us 750 bucks for that casket. Now, you're in the funeral business. You know what that's nothing.
No, that's nothing. And 50 extra bucks. And how much extra were the handles?
Do what?
How much extra were they going to charge you for the inoperative, non-operative handles?
He said, ask about the handles. And hold on, I'm getting to the old timer. So he says, handles, but you can't use them. I said, what do you mean you can't use them? And it was going to be $50 or $100 for the handles. And my dad was like, you know, my dad didn't care about spending the money. He said, I'll buy the handles. I said, well, I'm worried about somebody. If you can't use them, you know, do they put them in with some kind of little chintzy wood screw on the outside? When you grab it, they're going to pull the handle off? Or you know what I mean? What do you mean you can't use them?
I don't understand.
So I just said, if you can't use them, I just assume not have them because, but, you know, as I said before, one of these guys, Paul Bears, is an engineer. Another one's a naval intelligence guy. They're going to be the first ones to pull them off. You know?
They'll be the first ones to pull them off.
So
insane.
They made that thing. So, and then he says, well, we've got the original from 1880 something.
he had some silver. They probably weren't aluminum. I don't know what they had back in the 1880s. Iron. He had these. So he starts talking about the stands to set these wooden caskets on.
Yeah, okay.
And what I was thinking it was going to be like them old gunfighters. They'd stand him up. Like, you remember they put him in the store window?
Priceless, yeah.
And we thought, we were started laughing in the funeral home. I said, I think they're going to stand him up. My dad says, do you think like a gunfighter? And I said, well, yeah, I don't. That's what they did back. And then the funeral director's got to pull us back. No. He lays flat, but we have a thing, you know. Funeral director thought we was, I mean, here we're laughing about it. You know, we're going to stand him up like a gunfighter.
Well, yeah.
And,
Yeah, I'd give it a shot.
But, you know, that casket was so tight, I couldn't have fit in it. I mean, he couldn't have buried me. And my brother wasn't very big at all. I mean, 6 foot, I think weighed 165.
That's why that casket was only $750. It was a slim fit.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I said, these Mennonites or Amish or whoever they used to make them for must not be big people.
They're little folks.
Yes, because I was like, dude. And I told my brother, you know, we was joking. I said, I don't think I'd have fit. And my brother says, yeah, I'd have had to, we'd have had to tell him, you know, measure you. Yeah, I can think back in the old days, because that's what my dad said. Back in the old days, they'd come in and actually measure you.
Yeah, and then build the casket.
Yeah, because the $50 extra, when he's talking about the 50 extra, oh, and how tall was he? And he has the tall weight and all this other stuff. And I said, oh, come on, dude. Because when you seen how that thing was made, like he had a big jig or whatever set up to cut that lumber. And, you know, and I've built enough stuff out of lumber that... sorry, I just got interrupted. That you can't tell me that they just showed up today and made that thing.
You know? Oh man. So I'm gonna ask you, so you go to these, I know there's funeral home conventions, right? There's gotta be like places where you guys all go and hang out and see the new I mean, they gotta have like a convention in Vegas or something for you guys, right?
Yeah. But that's, I'm not privileged or privy to that.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
You don't go to, you mean you don't partake in that sort of
stuff? I don't partake in that sort of stuff. That's for the owners. And
oh, you mean, so there's no, because I'm like, you've got to have heard some really crazy stories from other funeral home directors.
Oh, there's enough that goes on under my roof or under our roof.
Well, wasn't there a funeral home show on HBO about 10, 15 years ago called 6 Feet Under, Eight Feet Under?
Yeah, 6 Feet Under.
Was that what it was about, funeral homes? I didn't get to watch it. We couldn't afford HBO. But
yeah, I watched an episode or two, and they lost me. I don't – if they want to go all theatrical in Hollywood, then I'd rather watch reality of it.
They lost you because it was too much stuff? It wasn't too far? Yeah. It was too far off the mark. When all they had to do was tell the real deal, and it'd been fine.
Yeah, but it was all about somebody saw a ghost, or somebody talked. There was a spirit visited one of them occasionally, and I don't know. I don't remember. Like I said, I watched one or two episodes, but then again, my attention span away from work is like you better get me good in the first 15 minutes.
How does a funeral director unwind then? If you can't go to Vegas, what do you do?
I don't know. I'm gonna tell off on them all.
Huh?
As I see it.
You're gonna what?
I'm gonna tell off on them. I don't know, every one of them, every funeral director, embalmer. They've got some sort of vice.
Oh, some really? Vice.
Yeah, I would say the ones I know.
Some vice. Is that what you said?
Some vice. Yeah, some vice.
Well, because you know, when I was a kid, my mom would always tell me, you know, welders had bad eyes, and funeral people were drunks. So
welders and funeral directors.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not going to say we're drunks, but you know, there's something going on. There's got to be a way to let go of the day at 5 o'clock.
Obviously you can see because you're not welding. So
no.
I'm
yeah, you got a way to shut that down. Yeah, I could.
You got to find that. I tell people I've got an off switch, and I can flip that off switch. Sometimes I can flip that off switch at work while I'm sitting and visiting with people, and I just listen for key words to turn that switch back on, flip that switch back on.
So you kind of go into it just like a just cruise control, huh?
Yeah, sometimes you have to survive. Because there's a lot of information being put out there when you sit down and meet with the family. There's a lot of information.
Now,
and most of it I don't need. Most of it I don't need to hear.
Maybe yeah. they didn't. Maybe they didn't. I mean, like my brother's obituary, I listed three different girls. Special
friends, I call them. I know. Just on purpose. You just did that to aggravate somebody.
Why'd you read it? Arkansas, did you read it?
We've talked about it on the show enough that
knows what are you gonna do? And truth be known, there's probably seven. I shouldn't mention seven or eight.
That is priceless. And that's one of those things where
I'm gonna try to say this in the most endearing words I can.
Okay. Or just shoot me straight.
There was a gal. It was in his space. They got the landlord's name from me and my brother and rented his house and come over there and told us anything we didn't want to move, we could leave there.
Because she couldn't bear to see any of it go?
I'm just going to lay it out there. I mean, who am I to decide? I'm just telling you, giving you
information. I mean, the landlord said that? The landlord said leave his things?
No, he's saying...
The gal said, just leave it.
The gal said, anything you want to move, just leave.
Well, of course.
Gosh.
Oh, I mean, good. It just, you know...
Because she just couldn't let go. Your brother
is that. Well, I mean, you know, I look at it. She couldn't let go, or she didn't want to let go, didn't want to give up that soap.
Well, now part really of needed, she, yeah, hold on really needed. You know what she told me? Because me and her talked about it a little bit. She said, "Hey, I've been wanting to sell my house for the last few years. The market's up.
She has.
And she said, I can't sell my house unless I have a place to go. You know, I've got too much stuff in my house. I need a place to go. So she said, what this will allow me to do is move right in here, empty my house, put my house on the market. It could sell tomorrow, and I don't have to worry about where I'm going or anything else.
Right.
And then that segued into her telling me that was her safe space when she, she'd gotten divorced 20-some years ago, and my brother counseled her through her times, and that was her safe space. So.
Oh my God!
So he was like a—I don't want to say soothsayer, but he was a counselor. He was
he was.
You know, in the jailhouse, they'd call them guys jailhouse lawyers. So I don't know what you'd call a barroom psychologist or psychiatrist. What would you
maybe,
call it?
Maybe I'd have.
Isn't that the bartender? Isn't that the bartender? I thought that was a bartender.
Yeah,
maybe so I'd have. Rethink what I do, rethink my position on a daily basis, and just go into,
being the Howler's younger brother, because it sounds like he had a lot more fun than the rest of us.
Yeah, so. He did.
Well, the problem is, in your position, right? I can see where especially if you're not in a very big town, you're going to see these people walking down the street. You know what I mean? In their time of need or whatever, when their whole world collapses, you're going to get to see behind the curtain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then next week, you're walking into them. I'm going to say Walmart again, but you're walking into Walmart, and there's whoever it was. And they just said all this stuff to you last week, and now maybe they wish they hadn't.
No, I hadn't seen that. I wish they hadn't a lot of times, that's where I find that off switch, and I quit listening. I know that sounds horrible.
No, so they're worried about what they said, and you didn't even hear them
most of the time.
Let's be honest, they may not even remember saying anything. You know, they sometimes when people start talking, they don't even remember. You know, yeah, what they were saying.
When they meet with me, you know, not me personally, but when they meet with the funeral director, it's the emotions are still raw. A lot of times, and yeah. they just open. I don't know. They just open their lives up. Open the book up and just start reading and going for it and tell me stories. And
so what's the crazy story you heard?
Oh my gosh.
Just give me a good one. I mean, you know, we got a good wholesome audience here. So.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That's a good one.
The problem is because you can't really tell a good story because if it's really good, that's the only person in the world that's ever said that crazy shit and they'll know it's you.
Well, this is where I hope people don't listen from where I am. So I sat down and well, I hope they do, but because if I tell this next story, one or two, and it wasn't really crazy, but this lady sat down and we're going to cremate her husband. And it's just her, just me and her on a Saturday morning. And she's angry. And that's not uncommon for people to come in and be angry. And we go through everything. And she goes, you know, we're not going to have a service. And I just want him cremated. And we're not going to put an obituary in the newspaper. I just want to have him cremated. And I said, well, eventually we got to talk about money. And she goes, we don't even have to talk about money. You're going to talk to his kids about money. And I said, okay. And she goes, do you want to know why I'm not having services? Why I'm not putting an obituary in the paper? And why I'm not going to talk to you about money? Okay, I'll bite. Why? Well, he married me, or I married him, whatever the case may be. He married me just so I'd be his nurse. He was dying when I married him, and he wouldn't tell me. He didn't tell me about it.
Hold on. He married her to be the nurse and she didn't know he was dying?
She did not know he was dying.
Figuratively,
not literally.
Yes.
Figuratively. Yes. Figuratively. She said, but that's okay. She goes, that's all right. You know, because I got a house and I got a garage full of cars and his kids can pay pay for his cremation. And I just said, okay, what if that's what? And she got up and walked out. And I said, well, what when I get his ashes back, his cremated remains, when I get them back, you may call you. I'll call you and let you know, and you come take him home. She goes, nope, I don't want him. His kids are going to take him.
Well, okay. So she was a little bitter.
That's a little like, bit. She was angry.
Was she bitter because she...
Did it take him a long time to die or something?
I think they were married. I don't remember. Married less than 2 years.
So she was expecting... She, like, really liked him, loved him, and wanted to be married to him for a long time. And he just
kind of... Yeah, and then... Come to find out. Tricks on you. I'm dying.
Well, maybe she'd have been a better wife if she could have kept him going a few more years.
I don't know, maybe that
just exposed her deficiencies. She was upset.
I don't know. It's one of those where
there
are times when you just put the pencil down and listen.
Wow.
Or like I said, flip that off switch and just sit there and give them a look. Yeah, I'm telling off way too many secrets, but.
So it can't all be sad at the funeral. That has to be a fantastic place to play a practical joke or two.
Well, on each other. We used to. I mean, we used to. I mean, you know, with this whole COVID pandemic thing and you know, business is booming, and you shouldn't say that, but business is booming. And it's just, you know, when it was normal, then it was fun. Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of booming, I was thinking earlier when you said something about business, theoretically, you're going to have a death boom that goes coincides with the baby boom, right? I mean,
yeah, that's what we're really in the middle.
I mean, we're really in the beginning of it. We're in the 40s of a 20-year boom. You know, we're right. The people in the 40s are really the ones kicking off now. Yeah. So we're at the beginning of a 20-year boom, theoretically.
Yes. Yeah. So we're burying baby boomers.
My dad doesn't want me to tell him that.
Your dad doesn't like it when you say that?
No, he doesn't like that.
Why?
Well, he's in that generation.
Well, he thinks he's going to
get
over on somebody or?
No. When I tell him we're burying the baby boomers, he goes, "How come y'all are so busy?" Well, we're burying that generation, Dad. And he goes, "Well, I am that generation. I'm not ready to hear that."
Well, you know, speaking of not ready to hear it, but I'm trying to remember where I was with my son yesterday. There was a dog that looked at us. It wasn't our dog. It was a strange dog. And my son said, my oldest boy says, did he ask me if that was Gandhi? He asked me if it was somebody famous. He said, "Hey, you think I could be so-and-so reincarnated?" And I said, maybe, but what did he do to come back as a dog?
I thought they came back better. I thought they're supposed to come back a step up.
It depends if you're good or bad.
Right. Well.
And I know which dog it was. Now, this was a little old Brittany at the guy that runs the trap range. He's got this Brittany, and she's got about three collars on that got electronic devices of some sort. And I don't know if they're shockers or trackers or whatever. She's just a sweet little dog. My daughter loves her. But I thought, you'd think somebody like Gandhi would come back as a better than a bird dog in South Missouri, right?
With three collars, either shock or track.
You'd think he'd be at least, one of them little fluff dogs in Hollywood carrying around a purse with one of them hotties or something.
Yeah, a purse.
It could have been, I guess, so if you're bad, so we got talking about reincarnated, and I said, yeah, I guess theoretically you can come back. I said, or if you're real good, you come back as another dude. I don't know, or, I don't know what the top of the pinnacle is.
I don't know.
If you're real bad, you're a coon dog or you're a police dog and you're out there having to deal with that crap all the time. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it was Gandhi because, I've been to Gandhi's house and I bought Gandhi's book. And for about 6 or 7 years, it sat on the back of my toilet in the master bath because it was
quality. Well, let's hope that Gandhi didn't come back as his book.
Right? It was it was two things. It's full of little excerpts, and at the time it was 2000. And I'm trying to remember. I get my days so screwed up. 2011, and I got a puppy, a Labrador puppy, and he chewed on one of the corners. So I used to joke, where he wasn't, he was somebody didn't believe in it, or he was mad that he come back as a dog. And but it was full of one or two, three sentence things about life. You know what I mean? That had been passed down in the Hindu religion for 1,000 years, and a lot of them made sense today. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So I don't know where I was going with that. Reincarnated, I don't know.
Reincarnation.
So,
as long as, you guys were talking about the ice cream earlier and not being good for you. And I always say if they find a cure for death, I'm out of a job. But I guess reincarnation won't impact me in the least.
No, because it just creates the next wave.
It secures. Hopefully, they come back as a dog. Unless I got to put that dog in a casket.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, they up in the city up in Minnesota, they cremate dogs. You can have your pet cremated. That's a big business up there.
That's big business down here. There's a business down here where I am. That's what they do. That's all they do.
Cremate dogs.
Cremate dogs. And you can pay for a private cremation of your dog, or pay a little bit less and you can put Fido in with everybody else.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say publicly. Like,
sprinkle
we're
them
gonna
out
watch.
Somewhere. What do they do with them?
Well, they'll give you some ashes if you do a group cremation, get the group rate.
But you don't know if you're getting your ashes. I keep talking about my dead brother, but well, me and my other brother talked about this. I said, you know, we could cremate him and spread him out amongst them gals, because they were like, my mom's like, well, who's going to take him? And I said, well, we just give each of them a third. Right?
What about the others?
Well, first though? We said, well, we could do a shared custody deal, and they could just have him certain holidays, every other holiday, almost like a child, right? You get him every other week, and then I got him last Christmas, so you get him this Christmas. And then, like I said, well, then we could split him in thirds and give each one a third. You know?
And that way they don't have to meet at the gas station on Fridays at 6 o'clock.
Well, down at the police station, they got these safe baby transfer places. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they got them here.
They have
too.
Parking spaces where I guess these people show up and trade kids or whatever. Either and then
you
I said,
go
well,
to, you go to Walmart parking lot on a Sunday afternoon, and everybody's handing off kids.
Here's just a Speedway off 71 in Ashland. That's where all the people that live not in Cleveland come and meet whoever they got divorced from.
I mean, the divorcee from Cleveland. I can't even think of a worse two things together. I mean, of course, now that Baker Mayfield's gone, I'm going to stop watching the Browns.
He's not officially gone yet.
Well, they're paying his replacement $150, $230 million or something.
Listen, the funniest thing I heard was, and we're just going completely off the rails, is that the Browns came out and said they wanted somebody that was more adult to play quarterback. And I thought,
oh my.
Deshaun Watson, that guy with 22 what? Civil suits?
What was his name? Good gosh, I'm drawing a blank. But the Browns drafted, what was his name? From Texas A&M.
Brand Whedon or Johnny Manziel?
Johnny Manziel. Somebody more adult?
Johnny Football.
Johnny
Whatever
Football.
Happened to him?
He's a funeral director somewhere in the Midwest.
Texas making a boatload.
Well, I did want to ask that one thing. You mentioned that you were friends with the dude who embalmed Elvis.
I was friends with a dude that worked with the embalmer that embalmed Elvis.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was in West Memphis, there was a guy that went across the river to the funeral home that handled Elvis's services. And I knew the funeral director. And he said, yeah, the embalmer's still there. And those instruments that he used, because we have, you know, embalming instruments, tools, they've all been framed.
Framed?
They're hanging framed. He took them out of circulation. had to buy new stuff, new tools. But that's the story I heard.
Wow.
So
I tell you what now, that, yeah, I like it. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I like it.
So, I've got a gentleman who he reached out to me from the paranormal side of the podcast, and he's been trying to convince me that Elvis is still alive. And well, that he's
how old would Elvis have to be now?
I don't know. He'd be old. I mean,
he would be old.
80, wouldn't he?
He'd be older than that.
He was
15 or 16 and 57, I think.
So, but he, how
the
old was
thing,
he?
Hold on,
how
I'm gonna look him up here.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up
because he died in the.
Because this makes great radio when you're looking stuff up. Well,
yeah, he died.
It's podcast.
I remember when he died in the 70s.
He was born in 35.
Oh yeah.
So he'd be 87. So how old
and what'd y'all say he's a preacher somewhere
in Missouri. This guy keeps telling.
He's right down the street here. He did my brother's service. He married me. You know, I had Ronald McDonald marry me. Y'all, I told you that story, right?
No.
Ronald McDonald married me. I never told that story.
No, but before we go to Ronald McDonald, apparently there's a guy named Pastor Bob Joyce who some people believe is Elvis. That Elvis is still alive. Because his voice apparently sounds so much like Elvis's. Because you know there's not 50 million Elvis impersonators that also sound just like Elvis, you know.
So
there's no truth. Elvis really did kick the can. And got involved.
On the can, I think. Didn't he kick on the can? On the can?
Yeah, he was on the can. Yeah, I think that's what they claim. I mean, I've been to Graceland twice, so.
You know, when I lived in West Memphis, I did a lot of things in Memphis, but I never went to Graceland. Just never had a desire.
Can you imagine what the embalming tools for Elvis are worth?
I don't know. Can you imagine? I don't know. To the right collector, I'm telling you, I bet they're worth a fortune.
I'm telling you, Zach Bagans would buy those right now from Ghost Adventures.
I don't know who Zach Bagans. Who is he?
Yeah, you do. He's the guy from Ghost Adventures with the glasses, got the Paranormal Museum out in Vegas. You know who he is.
I do now that you say Paranormal Adventure.
Well, we have now officially broken the record for the longest howler ever.
I felt bad because it seemed like I did all the talking.
And we didn't even talk about, I didn't even have to think about stories.
That's the way it works on this thing. If we got a magical mic, that we do that every day. And you know what's weird is we usually have something that we talk about earlier in the week. Hey, this is what we're going to talk about this week. And it never happens. We are a rudderless ship.
I have, from idea to idea. I had notes. And
what do you mean you had notes?
Before I had notes about stories.
That you wanted to tell.
Well, that I thought, well, you know, if asked, this is what I possibly could talk about. But
well,
we never got
this there. This was 101. We're going to bring you back at 150. So that should be next year. This time. 150. We're going to bring you back for 149.
It'll be an annual reappearance.
That's what we're going to do. Yep. And you're going to give us the annual
update
funeral report.
The annual funeral report.
Be like a stockholder.
You know what we're going to do? I'm doing it right now. Hey, we're going to talk about the people we lost in the last year. We'll start talking about famous people that have passed in the last year. Because when Shane mentioned that third hand, and you knew somehow the dude that knew worked with a dude that worked with the Graceland, or not Graceland, but that was
Elvis. Yeah.
I sometimes spend hours reading Wikipedia, which I know people say it ain't true, but I like it. And
you just haven't found the Wikipedia page I started for you yet.
And
go ahead.
These famous funeral homes over in London that's been doing not on cremation. You know, like if you see who I think the cremated Jimi Hendrix, and then you can go to notable people, and you know they've done everybody from you know Three Kings to two Prince. You know what I mean? Just some of these old time funeral homes in Europe that's been there for 200 or 300 years. I mean, they have done everybody, the who's who of people, right? And I don't know why I read that. Or sometimes I'll see something. It'll, you know, you see resting place. You know, Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and then it segues into famous people there. And it's like, dude, all these famous people are in the same farm. I mean, the same piece of ground.
Hey, here's one for you. There is a team of funeral directors in this country that when somebody of any status, or not any status, high status dies, they kick into action. It's like a super team of funeral directors. So they bury presidents, actors, high-profile people.
Really? I totally believe that because you know what? my brother was at the Meekum auction, they say a car auction this last week at in Phoenix, and he had a picture of somebody on his Facebook, or not his Facebook, but his Instagram. And when I talked to him about it, my brother said, "Well, that's so-and-so's kid. I usually see him at the horse sales." I said, "The horse sales?" He goes, "Oh yeah, these great auctioneers. Yeah. These high profile auctions. You know what I mean? Like if you're a good auctioneer,
you're comparing auctioneers to on TV
or $1 million horses. So yeah, whether you're an auctioneer or funeral home, if you're the best at, you know, if you're at the best of your game, I could see where you're, you know,
yeah, they'll assemble a team.
Which is why Baker Mayfield shouldn't worry about where he's going. If you're the best, it's going to work out.
You're the best no matter where you are.
So I got to know, how do you get on that team?
That's above my pay grade.
Like Skull and Bones or one of them. It's one of them. You got invitation only deals.
Secret societies.
Yeah, secret societies. That's right. Okay, they're like not Bilderberg, but I was thinking like the Knights Templar or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God. I was just Knights Templar. You've got to have the secret shake and whatever else. Yeah.
Yep. When they open the sliding little window in the door, you got to know the password.
Or the goat comes in, one or the other, and it's on. Oh,
God.
So, since you said goat, and I'm going to leave you with this little story. I was sitting down and I was visiting with my first Buddhist family. Never had worked with a Buddhist family before. Didn't have a clue what they were talking about, services. Didn't know. We were getting ready to do a service for this gal's dad. She goes, "Have you done a Buddhist service?" And I said, "No, I don't know anything about it." And she goes, "Well, I really don't either." And I said, "Well, as long as it doesn't involve goats or chickens, we can do anything." And she looked at me like I had two heads. And I said, "We're not sacrificing animals, are we? Because I can't do it in the building. Y'all do it in a parking lot, but we can't do it in the building."
What'd she say? She upset
her. She just looked at me and it changed the whole. We went, I think we went for happy hour after that meeting.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe I'd say that. I mean, but I didn't know what she was talking about.
Well, I think that's the Buddhist because they're the reincarnators, right? No, that's the Hindus.
That's the Hindus, yeah.
Man. I don't know what Buddhists.
I've not but had a conversation.
Did you
with
sacrifice?
The
sacrifice any in the parking lot? Okay.
I just had to ask. She's asking me, "Have you done this?" And I said, "No, I don't know what to expect." You know?
This is not voodoo.
The real retort would have been, if he's a Buddhist and he's living in Arkansas, he's sacrificed enough. He's sacrificed enough.
As we all have.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
'Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.